My dad was a pastry chef. I always used to be in the kitchen with him. Cooking was my passion. Then I went to MasterChef, one of my students that I used to live with.
Yeah.
They threw me in MasterChef.
Justin Neeson, a visionary chef, entrepreneur, bringing Caribbean flavors to the world.
We got so many influences around the world, and there are so many countries in the Caribbean Sea.
Born and raised in Curaçao, Justin moved to the Netherlands at 18 to study hospitality.
Later on, I was like, I want to change my career, I want to do something different. Then at the cooking part was starting.
Building on that success, he founded Mondi Caribbean Cuisine Restaurants. Now with locations in Amsterdam, Bad Hoeverdorp, Rotterdam, and most recently, Curadise.
Curadise, yes, bro. When I started with this concept, why not the Caribbean kitchen? Mm. What is the problem with the Caribbean kitchen?
People, welcome to the Sunside Kingdom Show. Once again, welcome.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Very nice introduction.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Very nice one. Good one. You know a lot about me already, and I don't even know you.
Let's dive into who is Justin today and what keeps him busy today.
I'm a dad.
Yeah.
That's first number one.
Yeah,
I'm
How many kids?
I have two kids, and I'm very grateful for them, but they live in the Netherlands. Mm. I live here, and I fly between back, Netherlands. Yeah. Back and forward. And I'm still a chef, more entrepreneur, but I still cook. You just saw. I try to teach the young ones to be like, to know the products, you know? Mm-hmm. It's very important to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm working on Curaçao right now.
Yeah, man.
That's what we are doing.
We're building something
new, yeah.
And it's beautiful out here, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, this is this is a dream that makes it come true.
Mm-hmm.
We are from the islands, and when you are 16, your mother start telling you, "Hey, in 2 years, you need to go start preparing your things because when you finish school, you need to go to Holland to do your own thing."
Yeah.
And so in 2009, I went to Holland and. Not with the intention to stay 16 years there.
Yeah, most of us don't.
But in the end, you're still there.
I'm still there. Yeah.
And this was in 2020. Was my first restaurant here in Curaçao.
Okay.
At the Madero Beach Club.
Yeah.
And that was my first step. Back for real on the island, and right now we make it big. We did it
next level, level.
Yeah.
And I see they're busy setting up an event out here. It seems like there's lots of stuff. So tell me more about all that happens at this location, because you know, it's not just a restaurant.
No, we're not just a restaurant. Yeah, we really wanted to do a nice beach over here. But we couldn't because the sea is very rough over here. And then you need to put breakers and you don't want to break your island, you know. So we couldn't do that. So we just make like a new beach club. And it's something very new for Curaçao because we have a lot of beaches. But and the concept of having a swimming pool with sand and chilling and like in Bali or other places in the world that have nice. Yeah. I think St. Martin also have a few beach clubs.
Yeah. We have a lot of them more on the French side. We have one or two on the Dutch side.
On the Dutch side, because you guys have more beach on the Dutch side, right? You have more beach, but that's why we needed to do a swimming pool, and I think it was like a great concept to introduce to Curaçao, and we did it.
But you guys also host events here and things. What type of events
like,
are they?
First of all, we are a beach club.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do a very good lunch. You can do your dinner here. And a lot of places, right now, a lot of corporate places are asking us, hey, can we do an event here? Because, you know, there's a very windy place. It's not too hot.
True.
It's an easy location to come. We have a lot of parking.
Yeah, because we're right here in Otorobanda.
Yeah, we're right. We are a city beach. So that's the first also beach like in the middle of the city. And Otra Banda is the new upcoming place in Punta Pietramari. They're building a lot. They already built a lot. But on this side of the island, there's nothing happening right now. But it's right now the upcoming place. So we started with this project, I think, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And so we do beach club, restaurant, and a lot, and events, corporate events, and we have our own events, like our Caribbean Night 25 plus. It's an old school R&B concept from us. It was just last Saturday.
We
have it in Amsterdam once a month, and it's packed. Like
that's at the one in
In Skybar.
I've been there. I got a bit too tipsy over there.
Bro, if you know what it is like. If I go out, I go to 25 plus. It's like, for me, it's one of the best parties because I don't want to go to like a club anymore. But if I go there and we can sing along and all the old school music and like 25 plus people.
It's a grown vibe.
It's a grown vibe. So
and you could listen to the music you want to listen to, not.
The new school is also good, but.
Some of it.
This is our time when we grew up, you know what I mean? It's like the same way your mom say like, oh, do you know this song? You were very small when she was cleaning the house, you know. My mom, every time she cleaned the house, she put like the music on. So I know all the music from the 80s, the 70s. And if you put them on, I will sing because I know them all. So, there's We Have 25 Plus, Caribbean Night. And we are introducing right now our brunches, like the Latin brunch is coming. So we do our own events, 5th of April.
Yeah.
We have Dope, you know, Shermanology.
Yeah,
he's one of the most, one of the famous Caribbean DJs. He's from Curacao, but he stands for the Caribbean also. So
true.
We are Caribbeans. 5th of April we have. So we try to do a lot of different things, but to stay close to our,
close to your roots.
close to your roots. And for me, as an entrepreneur, it's very important that we can do everything together. With people from the community, you know, for me is that very important. Like in the Netherlands, I always did. Like all my, the most of them, my kitchen team and just were, or front of house were from Curacao and Mundi also.
Yeah.
So you need to empower each other. That's always my motto, to try to do more with people from the Caribbean.
And even in the brief little, because I came over last night to just check the place out, do a reconnaissance. And I could see it already, like with the staff and very friendly greeting, checking on you, and you could see it immediately, like that Caribbean vibe, and the culture is definitely present.
If you are the best Caribbean kitchen in town, you need to have it, right?
for sure. So you mentioned your mom now multiple times. So let's go all the way back to a little Justin. So growing up in Curacao, what was that like?
I think growing up in Curacao or growing up on an island, it's very different than growing up in the Netherlands or growing up in Europe or like places like it's cold, you know. And I think I had the best
childhood.
Like, you know, I see my kids growing up. I try to give them the best childhood.
Yeah.
But it's very different when they are here because I try to come with... So they come like 3-4 times a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because that's my mom lives here, you know, and it's her grandma and my sister lives here. So I'm the only one in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So I try to come often so they can also... integrate yourself with Curacao. Like, this is also my home.
Yeah.
So every time we go on vacation, I ask them, hey, where do you want to go? Should we do this time somewhere else? No, I want to go to Curacao. Okay, fuck it. Okay, we go to Curacao. So they come in 2 weeks. They come out also. Nice, they're going to come.
Yeah.
So they're already preparing everything and they are waiting to...
How old are they?
7 and 6.
Oh, perfect ages.
Yeah. So they are every day, Abe, that... When are we coming? We start counting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they are excited to come back to Curacao.
Yeah.
And the way, like, I see him walking without shoes, like, in his under... Ondergoed.
Yeah, real island style.
Yeah.
Just the freedom.
Yeah, that's freedom. Yeah. Catching lagadishi, you know what I'm saying? So
the lagadishi
small,
is lizards?
Small iguanas. And every day he asks me, let's go to fish. I want to go to the boat. And
yeah. you obviously went to school here. So what was the school time like? Because how did growing up here sort of influence the chef in you to want to emerge?
Yeah, you know, I always cooked at home.
Okay.
Like on Saturday, it's like my mom is working and we cooked at home. And I was always the guy that goes in the kitchen and fix it, you know?
Yeah.
And my dad was a pastry chef. We have a few pastry places here. And yeah. I always used to be in the kitchen with him, you know, working or doing my thing.
Yeah.
And I first started at front of house because I never did like a chef school or something.
Mm-hmm.
I just like autodidact, they say in Dutch.
Autodidact.
Like it's like a passion.
Yeah.
This cooking was my passion. Mm-hmm. I did only the hotel school in the Netherlands, and then I did economics. I studied for economics, and later on, I was like, I don't want to be in front of house anymore. I want to change my career. I want to do something different. And then the cooking part was starting getting more and more and more. So then I went to MasterChef. One of my students that I used to live with, they throw me in MasterChef, and I was like, well, what the are you doing? And then I went to the first round, second round, because you have a few rounds before you can start with a program, like they're like 250 people.
Then so they really want to get the best of the best to go on the show.
To go on the show. And so I was one of them from the 16. So from the 250 to the 16, and then it started. And when I went out of the show, I was like, I think I love cooking.
Yeah.
And I used to work my whole life in restaurants because, that's the only thing
as
that...
As a student.
As a student. But I have only passion. I have passion for
yeah, so the hospitality.
Yeah, I have passion for the hospitality. I like good food. I like good wine. I like to serve people so they have a good time. And I'm born in that...
Yeah.
In this world, you know?
Yeah.
So then I start cooking. I ask my chef, like, hey, I don't want to be in front of house anymore. Don't you need someone to help you in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
So from that day on, it started growing and growing and growing. Okay. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
So it was a crazy road and a very strange road because I never expected that I'm going to be a chef.
Yeah.
Because I took this job very seriously. So I started cooking, what I told you already, very young. I was doing in Curacao, also caterings and... Mm-hmm. Beside my job, I was doing cooking in my where I used to live in the Netherlands, cooking for the people there and selling food and put some barbecues. Like, hey, there's a Caribbean barbecue on Saturday. Do you guys come? 25 euros, you know, something like that.
Yeah. So technically, you was doing it all the while, but you didn't think you were doing it.
Something like that. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then when I finished with MasterChef, I was like, why should I do something that I don't like to try to run away from my passion, you know, because you're trying to run away from something because...
So why do you think that you didn't choose for your passion any earlier?
I think there's a few reasons because being a chef in that time, it's nothing super great or something, you know what I'm saying?
So
in our culture.
Yeah,
in our culture, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So when I was finished with the hospitality school, I was like, okay, I want to do something that I don't have to work anymore in the hospitality. So what can I do as best? And counting, I'm very good in
numbers.
In numbers.
Yeah. Because you study economics and
so that was the easiest thing for me.
Yeah,
you know.
So you went into accountancy.
Yeah, I did accountancy. Yeah.
Ah.
So but that was the easiest thing. I was like, I don't want to have. I went first. I did facility management.
Mm-hmm.
I was 1 week there. I was like, hell no. So then I was like, okay, my girlfriend, my baby mom, she was like, hey, dude, don't you think this is something for you? I was like, okay, you know, fuck it, I'm just gonna try it, and if it goes, it goes. And I finished my study in 4 years, in one row, boom. Mm,
yeah.
And in between that, just opened already. So I was studying and having, so Yeah, this was a crazy roller coaster. Like,
So you did the hospitality, MBO, and then you did like economics, HBO.
Yeah. So later on, I had Just.
Mm-hmm.
I started 5 May. I just took my contract for Just. Mm-hmm. It was 2017.
Mm-hmm.
On 10 May 2017, mm-hmm. my girlfriend told me,
I'm pregnant.
Happy birthday. And it was her birthday. So I was like, happy birthday, my love. And she was like, congratulations, my love. I was like, yay. No, I was very happy.
Yeah.
But the timing was perfect. Yeah. Of course was the timing perfect. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, I need to do school. I need to finish my school. I need to do one more year, so scripts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I need to, I'm becoming a dad next mm-hmm. year. And just this opening.
Yeah.
What the f***? So, I went to my mentor, and mm-hmm. I was explaining.
So your mentor at school?
At school, yeah. Okay. And she Jacqueline van Leeuwen.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very, very beautiful soul or lady, a person, you know, because she was understanding me, and she mm-hmm. saw my growth from like coming from the hospitality school mm. in the first year, and then MasterChef, and.
Oh, you did MasterChef while you were doing HBO.
The MasterChef was 2016. Yeah, it was my first year. Yes.
Yeah, so you were in HBO.
Yeah. Look at yourself.
Of course,
amigo. You are in Curadice. So, so she saw my grow, and mm-hmm. then Just opened, and I was like, okay, listen to me. I have a few things that I need to discuss with you.
Yeah.
Just is open. I need to do my scripts. And I'm going to be dead.
Yeah.
She was like, how are they going to do this? I was like, if you help me, just talk with school.
Yeah.
So they can help me. If I can do my scripts like during my work period, because I'm working, I'm doing the number.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can help me. We can arrange something.
Yeah.
So I couldn't. Dus ik kon dat doen, snap je?
Yeah.
En dat heb ik dus ook gedaan. Dus ik heb eigenlijk, I finished my school in 2018.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah.
Nice.
In 2018, I finished my school. And once I was like, okay, listen, I don't want to pay that debt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of students of us, they have the f***ing high loan and shit. So I told them, I don't want to do that. So please, how are we going to fix this? And the first time, I just need to make an exam from hours. Like, it's like 5-6 hours exam.
Yeah.
It's in the accountant on... You need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I failed, then you need to pay to do it again.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, okay, Justin, this time I took 3 days off to do that. And then I finished school. And then I was like, okay, next.
So it seems like there's a bit of a trend of doing a lot of big things simultaneously.
Of course. And everything, you know, up front. That's the most...
How you mean everything you know up front?
It looks like you know everything up front.
Oh,
like, oh, you're
yeah,
begun.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
course.
Yeah.
Oh, you need to stay to finish school. Yes. Oh, you're opening a new restaurant. Yes, of course. Also doing that. Oh, you're the new best kitchen in town. Whoa, thank you.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the restaurants was so busy.
Mm-hmm.
Just was so busy. I was working 7 days. Like, 7 days. Every day.
Yeah.
And so I woke up in the morning. I really want to give like the mother of my kids props because mm-hmm. she did everything, you know, because I wasn't at home. Because we have two babies.
Yeah.
One needs to bring food on the table and the other one needs food.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it was a very, very,
Teamwork.
Very, it was a heavy time for us. It put a lot of pressure on our relationship. Yeah.
Mm.
Because you try to understand each other. And normally if you are a dad, if you just became a dad, you go in the process with your baby mom. Like, mm-hmm. you need to be more patient. You need to understand her. You know, women get all those hormones. And what I'm saying? And I was totally not in touch with her feelings, you know, because I had another priority. I was not looking at after the kid, you know.
Well, they say the business is also a baby.
Yo, that's so, why so we had two babies.
Yeah,
you
had three babies. You had two.
Baby mom?
Two real babies. And then you had the business baby.
Yeah, man. So was a very heavy time, you know?
Yeah.
But we did it.
Yeah.
And that's something when I look after everything. Mm-hmm. Because a year later, like, was my first vacation. Mm-hmm. Since 2017 when we opened. My first vacation was in 2000. What's this? No, it was not a vacation.
It was a workcation?
It was a workcation. They which company? Oh, Corendon was it. Corendon asked me to come.
Yeah.
For a TV program or something? No? I can't remember very good. No? I needed to cook here. Mm. So I asked them, okay, I can come, but only on one reason: if my wife and my my firstborn can come.
Yeah.
So it was we were here, and then we knew we're gonna get a new one.
Oh. So the second one came in Kuna Dice.
I was like, no, you know. But we did it again.
Yeah, we did it again.
So we have two kids, one boy and one girl.
Oh, nice. And so the boy is first?
The boy is first. The boy is seven. And my daughter is going to be six right now.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. So there was a very heavy time. But we did it. We made it.
We're
still here. We still breathe. Yeah, man. No, this, and then the other roller coaster. Was doing very good as the first Caribbean kitchen in town doing on an
So where was that, in Rotterdam or Amsterdam?
Yeah, that was in Rotterdam. Okay. Yeah, my first restaurant was in Rotterdam. My second one was here in Curaçao. In COVID we started.
Yeah.
But we have already Mondi in Amsterdam.
Okay. No? Yeah.
No, just Mondi. Then Curaçao, then Skybar, then New West, and right now this one.
Yeah.
So, and right now we are building a new one.
can you mention any of that or not?
Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah,
so
yeah,
where is the new one going to be?
So the new one we're going to build in Yantil.
Okay.
It's an old place, and we're going to renovate everything, so we just throw the pool out this week.
So you're also going to put a pool there and everything?
It's going to be a beach club.
Okay.
A new beach club, but an Italian one.
Okay.
So we want to do more concepts, and not only the Caribbean kitchen, but we're going to do an Italian kitchen and with a few influences of the Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we have like a jerk chicken pizza, things like that.
Yeah.
But I try to, you know, Italians don't like you to with their kitchen. So.
True.
So for all Italian, I really, really like your kitchen. I have a lot of respect for you guys. And I think the fusion is very nice. Like, one of my best dishes was a ravioli I made with stoba and truffle.
Yeah.
With a Parmesan foam. It's like amazing. So
can you get that here?
I think in 6 months we have it on the menu over there.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So that's when I'd be back.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's why I was thinking, you know, I think because I like the Italian kitchen very a lot. It's a very simple, simple kitchen, but with nice flavors and they combine everything so good. And I was thinking, if we put this together, we have a new explosion.
For sure.
So that's going to be the Mondi Italian. Yeah.
Well, looking forward to that, man. Yeah. Awesome. So let's continue on that Caribbean trend. No. How would you say your Caribbean influences has helped to shape your career?
You know what it is? Like, I always say, if you look at a Suriname kitchen,
mm-hmm.
in every corner in the Netherlands, you can eat a broodje kipkerrie or a chasu or, you know, and I like also the kitchen.
Roti,
you know, mm-hmm.
it's
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Dutch people, they go a lot to Curaçao.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, when I started with this concept, I was like, why not the Caribbean kitchen? Mm-hmm. What is the problem with the Caribbean kitchen? Does anybody know the Caribbean kitchen?
Yeah.
A lot of people think that the Caribbean kitchen is the tractipan or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have so many things in our kitchen.
Yeah.
We got so many influences around the world because, look, we are on an island. We have Venezuela, we have Colombia, we have Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have the French side. We have the African roots. Mm-hmm. We have the Indian roots.
It's one huge fusion. Yeah.
So our kitchen is very big. We have Peru on the other side. We have Brazil there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have so many influences. And there are so many countries on the Caribbean Sea.
Yeah.
So why not? We can cook everything. We can do so. A lot of techniques comes from the Caribbean. You know, you have French. French is the French mm-hmm. way of cooking, and the and I don't know if I can say this, but
go ahead.
You know, but the French, they did a good work.
Mm-hmm.
They put the base from sauces and techniques. They did it. But if you come on this side of the world, you will see that we have also a lot of techniques.
Mm.
Stewing, ceviches, you know. We have so many with fish. We do a lot with the French side don't have those. We have more fish than Europe, you know what I'm saying? So we got so more things that we can do with the sea. And we just throw a line over here and we just take a tuna and we make sashimi and we do this and we do that. So we have so many influences. Oh, I'm to come back on your question. But that was the reason. We have so many things that we can do. And I never saw the Caribbean kitchen in the Netherlands on an elevated way. So I started with just cooking four or five courses,
mm-hmm.
only Caribbean kitchen.
Mm.
To twist our local food to an upper scale, you know? That was my concept. There where I started from. And what you see is there, like, a lot of people, they came once to Curaçao, their daughter lives in Curaçao, my dad was once in Curaçao,
or
I grew up in Curaçao, or, you know, I have a good friend, you know, some type of connection with the island, and
mm-hmm.
it was a boom, because there are so many people
and
that lives in the Netherlands that have a connection with our islands, not only Curaçao, mm-hmm. but St. Martin, Bonaire, Aruba, Saba, St. Eustatius, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was also like a time machine for them.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, they come.
I remember having like the little mini pastiches and things.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like a time machine. And I think that was the greatest success for doing this for people in the Netherlands, you know?
Yeah. Awesome, man. So if we tap into to mentors.
What?
Mentors. So persons that helped you along the way, persons that you could go to for advice. You actually mentioned your mentor from school earlier, but let's say in the business aspect of things, in the chef and hospitality aspects, were there any mentors? They don't even have to be, let's say, persons that you really connected to physically. It could also be maybe persons that you followed online to get the inspiration from and sort of the guidance on how to navigate. Because something like this has never really been done, to my knowledge,
mm-hmm.
of setting up a Caribbean cuisine kitchen in mm-hmm. the Netherlands and then eventually bringing it back home as well.
I had a few mentors, and like there was a chef.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work for, all my friends worked for him. Like we were working in the spool, you know, in the how do you say that?
Say it in Dutch.
Okay, in the spoolkamer, you know, where you
spool
the plates.
Yeah, the dishwasher.
I also did that.
Yeah.
So we did like, and I, we used to work there. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy that I always mention in all my podcasts, because this guy, he gave me everything that he could. Mm-hmm. All the knowledge. He has a very big restaurant. All my caterings that I had, he was like, take it for free. I really want to see you growing, you know?
Wow.
And if I didn't know something, he always will be there. If I need to call him at 1 o'clock in the evening,
yeah,
or at night, or in the morning, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Till today,
yeah,
when I call him, he was always open for me. And I really need to give him some his props. And a big thank you to Marcel Beierling from the Machinist in Rotterdam. Yeah, I don't know how to explain sometimes how thankful I am to this man, to see the potential in me and give me the trust to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Because it's that actually brings me to another question of how important are relationships? So like those business relationships, how important are those for the development?
You know also
of your
what it is? Like those type of relationships are very important. Connection, networking is the most important thing.
Yeah.
I think, and like a type of guy like this guy, like my dad passed away when I was very young.
Oh, shit. And, sorry to hear that.
And I don't know that he was like my figure, but he was helping me with everything, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like unconditional,
like,
you know?
Like a bit of a dad figure.
Yeah, man. And, and that was very nice because, you know, I'm a guy from Curacao just working in a dishwashing here and try to get my money to live my student life in the Netherlands, you know what I'm saying? And he took us, all of these friends, and we are still still good with him, and he just came last summer. He was here also with all of us.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
You know, I'm so thankful for this guy. And for me, like, having a good business partner. Like, my business partner right now is also a very good mentor. Mm. You know, he's the owner of Corendon, and we do a lot of things together.
Yeah.
But, like, if you need to look at his journey,
yeah,
it's a crazy journey. It's like from a guy that's selling shawarma in Haarlem owns right now, 10 hotels, 50 planes. I don't know what he owns, but like one of the biggest companies in Europe in the airline business.
Yeah.
You know, so everything can start, everything can come if there's a consistency, belief, and do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
You have nothing to lose. What do you have to lose?
Exactly.
My dad always told me, there's one thing you can lose in your life. That's your life.
Yeah.
That's it. And if you lose everything, you start all over again. And if you lose it again, you start all over again. There's going to come a day that you're not going to lose again.
Yeah. Yeah, you keep failing until you can't fail no more because you'll succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I also believe in never quit.
Yeah.
You know?
I see you with the Jordan and the Chicago shirt on.
Yeah.
Representing the
Representing,
six rings.
Yeah, man, bro. Yeah, but that's really my motto, you know. We don't stop. There's no other option.
Yeah. And based on everything that that I've seen and heard, I would say that you're definitely living in your purpose. But what do you believe is your purpose on this earth?
This is a very good question, because for me, what's very important and what I want to really give people is like, first of all, love. You know, let's love each other more, because, you know, give love. If you give, and it doesn't matter what it is, you can receive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think love for me is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And try to help people understand, like, who the f*** I am, you know?
Mm.
Why? Because a lot of people are so, also the social media, and they are so destructive from the world, and who is me, and I think that is one of the biggest issues that we have right now.
True.
And I really try to give them something like be the best of yourself, focus on yourself, do what you like, and it doesn't matter what you do. If you are the best cleaner, or you're also a millionaire, so it doesn't be the best in what you do. That's it, and go for your passion and do what makes you happy, and spend your money if you want, because when you die, who's gonna keep it? The government or your family, and they're gonna have also problems about the money that you left. So
true. Yeah.
Why, you know?
Live your best life.
Yes, but because it's my ticket. It's not yours.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, but that's my vision. That's how I live, you know? I do what I want. I try to travel. I love my kids. I love people around me. I try to give a lot of love and helping people around, you know? If I can help you, why not? It doesn't cost me anything. Maybe a little bit of time, but...
Yeah. Well, I can attest to that, because even how we were managed to get this arranged, if you didn't have that type of mindset, this wouldn't have happened now. So, thanks for that, bro. So let's continue with the advice, and let's go back to 18-year-old Justin.
Yeah.
Right? So how old are you now?
34. Yeah.
Okay. You? So if I'm 40, I turned 40 this year.
God damn it, bro. Yeah, bro. I had to give you that one. Wow, I thought you were...
The grays are high.
I'm gray too. Oh, that the black don't crack, you know?
Black don't
bang.
crack.
Oh,
So let's tap back to an 18-year-old Justin and where he was in his mind and his head with all your experience and knowledge and wisdom today. What advice would you give 18-year-old Justin?
I think how can I explain this good? Care less about other people.
Yeah.
Is it less
about their opinions, about other people's opinions? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. Because people always have an opinion about anything. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you do, if it's good or bad or...
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people project their emotions or their feelings to someone else.
Their insecurities onto someone else.
And that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
From young people right now. Mm-hmm. And I recognize it right now, you know, all over the world, also the Instagram and the social media, and our time we already had it.
Yeah. But it's a bit worse.
And there's
now
a lot of people that change their lifestyle because opinions of their mom, their dad, their family, the family pressures.
Yeah.
And it's not about people. The most of the time, the biggest problems come from families.
From close, yes.
You know, like in Curacao, it's like it's a doctor, lawyer, or that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, yeah.
I think that would be my best advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So care, don't give a shit.
Do what a you want
about other people's
it's your
opinions
life. Yeah. Yeah, because you know what it is, how many people in the world can tell you the same story and they made it?
Yeah. No.
Do what if all of them,
it's always a different version,
you know what I mean? It's always a different version. But I'm a guitarist.
Yeah.
I want to play guitar the whole day. Yeah, but you cannot make money with that. It's not a good day. Right now he's playing for Juan Izquierda. I'm just saying something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that's my son. No, f*** off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When I used to tell you every day, Mom, I wanted to play the guitar, I was like, no, go to school. You need to do this. You need to do that. Go to be a lawyer. Be this, be that. And right now it's my son. Yeah. You know what I mean? But that's true. Those are facts, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
So, start to believe more in yourself and do what the f*** you want. Right now, I'm gaming. You know, people are earning
crazy
young
money.
Kids are making millions with gaming. Parents live on the kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's true. Nah, stop gaming. And right now, I'm going to stop gaming, okay?
Yeah.
Go to work back. Yeah, but this is it, bro.
Yeah,
this is how it is.
In a whole different world now.
Yeah, there was like a kid, I don't know, like a young lady earning 10 million. She's like 11, 12, a YouTuber.
What?
She is a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like my son, he likes fishing, so he also follows a guy on YouTube and well, like millions of views and things. And my son knows everything about fishing and this and that. And like, and right now he has also a tablet, you know, so it's like, hey, this is my dad. look at him. He was like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? I was like, no, I'm an influencer. I was like, okay.
Do you.
Do your thing, bro.
So if we, so one of my observations is obviously the fact that you build a business in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was originally the plan that you had when you went there. So it just kind of evolved. And now you started building businesses back in Curaçao.
Yeah.
So actually your experience, wisdom, knowledge, etc., you gained overseas and you've been bringing it back.
Yeah.
So I see it as sort of a blueprint because there's not many of us that have made that journey. So whether they build businesses overseas and then start those businesses back here. What has been the biggest challenges in doing that? And what's the secret to make it successful?
Look, the first, I see this question and a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Look, I never expected that I will be back so soon.
Yeah.
So that's again life.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to jump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because opportunities comes.
Yeah.
And they come sometimes one time.
Yep.
And when it comes, you need to take them.
You only get one shot. You'll get multiple shots, but that one sometimes shot at that opportunity.
You need to do it.
Yeah.
So, and I took it.
Mm-hmm.
But I take shots.
Yeah.
You know, and if it goes, it goes. If it don't goes, let's go. We go further.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we do. So
coming back to dad's advice, you can only lose one thing, and that's life. So.
It. Go.
Go.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so the opportunity came to do it here, and there was a lot of obstacles and a lot of
politics.
A lot of things. But you know, I really want to thank Mariska and Kiana, like they're my partners. And we did it all together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And when you are a proper team and we trust each other in our blueprint.
A bit more in the mic.
Like we have, like Kiana and Mariska, we did this all together. We are a very nice team, and we have so many trust in each other, so we can build on each other, you know? So if you can do this together, you can walk this. So this is also, I think, my advantage.
Yeah.
That the team is solid.
Yeah.
We can go through everything. So if tomorrow you call me, hey, we have something in Dubai, and we have enough to go, we go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there was... I don't know why, you know, there was not like obstacles, like things. I don't know if there's, I can name them obstacles. Of course, there are things that are always challenges. More challenges.
Yeah, challenges.
You know, like there's no problem. It's always a challenge because you need to, if you cannot think in solutions, then you stops again.
Yeah.
You know, stop
then,
it.
Then you shouldn't be in business.
Yeah. Because, there's a lot of things that happen here, but we are still here and we are open.
Yeah.
So there was a solution for every problem that came.
Yeah.
So that's it. Awesome. For everything that comes, is a solution.
Yeah. For every challenge, there's a solution to be found.
For everything that comes. Doesn't matter what it is. And if it's big or small, or also if it's a big problem, we make it a small problem.
Nice,
right?
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Justin, I would like to thank you very, very much for your time, taking the time out.
It was a very fast podcast.
Yeah. Well, we trying to keep it within within the time frame, and I know that everything is starting to get busy, and you got to be managing an event tonight and everything. So
no worries.
We're gonna.
But I think this is a nice podcast because you see people walking, you see a little bit background in the music, or music in the background. It was a very busy day for me also today, but I really want to thank you.
The cocktail hitting a little bit.
I didn't only one shot. One slock.
Okay. Let's do at least one.
Pros, bro. Pros. I really want to thank you for everything. I think it really was a nice podcast. Thank you for your time.
Thank you
for being here. You eat yesterday a burger. Was it good?
It was good. It was douchey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to eat something?
Oh, for sure.
I'm gonna
fix
something for you. All right. Okay.
Awesome.
2 weeks you're here in Curacao, you're always welcome. Everybody that's looking at the podcast, come to Mundi Beach Club.
Where can they find you? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, look here. We're going to put the link here, you know. You can find us here. I'm going to send you all the information. Everybody is welcome. I'm Mundi Beach Club, Curacao, Patrice Eeuwisweg. We're going to put all the information down here.
And for those in Holland, there's multiple restaurants that they can also visit.
In Holland, you can go to Amsterdam South, New West, or Skybar. You guys are more than welcome. Follow us, Mundi Amsterdam. Follow Mundi Caribbean. Follow Justin Eason for all the nice events.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, bro.